Moulinet.
Silence.
Thank you.
The world is now a global village. A global village. The world is now a global village. A global village.
Retirer plus quatrième. Moulinet. Tap tap.
I went for 2 years to Pomona College where they didn't teach me what I was going to do. And they make you think, if you have an inclination to make things, that you're going to be a writer, because that's actually the only craft I think we learn in school, reading and writing. So that one tends to think of himself as a poet or an author when he goes to school. And after 2 years at Pomona, I decided to leave the whole thing. And I went to Europe, where I was impressed by architecture and decided to become an architect. But not to become an architect, but to study Gothic art. Still felt very possessive about my life, and I didn't feel like giving it away to architecture. And so then I came in contact with both modern music and with modern painting, and I decided that if that was the way things were, that I could do them as well as anybody else. And so I began composing and painting, and I continued doing both of these things for 3 years, and that brought me back from Europe, back here to Los Angeles, Pacific Palisades and Santa Monica, and I came in contact with Richard Bulig, the pianist who's no longer living, and with the Ahrensbergs, and with Galka Shire. And the Ahrensbergs and Galka Shire didn't give me as much encouragement about my painting as Bulig gave me and others about my music. And so after, I had not yet studied music. So I, at the suggestion of Henry Cowell, I prepared to study with Schoenberg, and when I, after studying the Rauschenberg text with Edel Weiss, I presented myself to Schoenberg
and followed
he said, "Well, you probably score. Not be able to afford my price
of mine, which is called Carpenter's Music. It's been my habit."
And for, I said, "Well, you don't even need to mention it because I can't pay you anything
to write texts."
And
in a way analogous to the way that
he said,
music.
"He said, will you devote your life to music?"
And so I use the musical composition.
It gives me the subject which I must discuss.
Say I have,
and I said yes.
That I'm willing to discuss.
Then I
stopped
painting
with four shapes on,
and
it.
I on it.
Over
that,
devoted
I placed
my life
a circle,
to music,
which in the case of
now,
music refers to time. In the case of a text,
I wrote a great deal
these,
of music,
refers to lines
and,
on a page. I have a line. I have another sheet with points on it.
Gave concerts and whatnot.
And these points, and these sheets are transparent. And as the points fall over the one with shape,
for many years, as though some of the points are within the shape, some are out.
In fact, now the circle with the notes.
People always wanted
and another circle,
to hear about
another
it,
page
we're
here, not points, but like O's, circles.
And so I took to writing lectures
also over this article. Then a dotted line, which is.
And if you please,
meandering,
those articles and lectures were published. Or they contracted to publish them before any of my music was published. But almost immediately, all of the music was published too. Now, some of that music, particularly around 1958, my concert for piano and orchestra, uses graphic notations. And those notations were exhibited in the Staple Gallery. So, have I or haven't I devoted my life to music?
He's so foolish, this guy. I mean, he's got my country's got him so.
If I ever write an essay about Marshall McLuhan, one thing I'm sure of is that the title will be Homage to the Runner. Not that I ever actually saw him run during the decade we taught in the same English department at St. Michael's College. In fact, more characteristic was an energetic and loose-limbed, elongated walk, which left you with the impression that, like Leacock's excitable young man, McLuhan was about to ride off in all directions at once. More often than not, he would be accompanied by faculty and students trying to keep up both with the pace and with the momentum of the ideas. By the time I arrived at St. Michael's in 1970, he was already an institution, even a legend. And although no one knew it at the time, his most influential years were already behind him. But if he was an institution, one of the sights of the Toronto campus, he resisted the kind of premature canonization that would have rendered him an honored but harmless academic. As I said, my image of him is as a runner, and in the last decade he kept on moving. Whenever you ran into him, he was always reporting on something new, something exciting. It could be a book he had half read, a piece of research he had just learned about, or even a wingy idea he had had about Lord Durham's report. In fact, he didn't really matter what it was. He was on the move, standing still, doing our standard research and publishing our usually dull papers. His own image of himself was as a scout or a prober or one of the antennae of the race. He was the individual who could look at our society's systems of communications and understand both how they shaped us and how we could use them to reshape ourselves. Everything he wrote about the past, whether the ideal scribal society of the Middle Ages or our fall into alienation during the Renaissance, everything was oriented towards the future. He told one interviewer that he was a conservative and hated all change, but given that change was inevitable, he was damned if he was going to let it roll over him. In his inimitable way,
I mean, and then you can put it in here.
Because I can edit.
You can then transfer it digitally.
Yeah.
I think. No?
No, I can. Yeah, sure. I mean, I have to buy.
It's a very good machine.
Yeah. I have to buy.
Walking stuff. Really? I love him. I can't.